Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning, and we welcome all in Jesus' precious name. And also, I hope you've taken time just to be able to wish each other a happy new year. So from me, a happy new year. Have the chance to speak to you after the service. So I have to tell you, I have never felt so, and the word is discombobulated. It's a fantastic word, but that, I'm completely confused. I don't know where I'm coming or going right at the moment. Is this 10 o'clock or half 11? However, we'll move on to the intimations. Tea and coffee after the service. Just in the small hall. A chance to be together and to share together after the service there. The tithing offering for the work of the church after the service. There's a joint session meeting, cut session meeting on Wednesday evening at our dear church at 7 o'clock. That's Wednesday the 9th. The building, safe buildings officer from the Church of Scotland is coming to both buildings or have a look through both buildings on Wednesday afternoon, and he wants to be able to speak to all the elders. So that's Wednesday evening, just 7 to 8 o'clock. Our dear session will stay on for a while after that for business, and then the Livingston session meets next week, 16th of January at 7 p.m. in the hall, the small hall. And that's me getting the nod. That's all the intimations. That was a bit quick. Just to let you know that I've changed the introit. And I've changed the accent. So we'll start with All Heaven Declares, and we'll, which I know we do know, and then the accent is a song, Peace to You, and it's very straightforward, and hopefully we can pick that up. We'll wait till the end of the service for that. All Heaven Declares, let's stand as the word is brought in. To worship. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Most powerful Holy Spirit, come down upon us and subdue us. From heaven, where the ordinary is made glorious and glory seems but ordinary, bathe us with the brilliance of your light like dew. Amen. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. We worship. Let's join our hearts and our minds together in prayer. Let's pray. Again, the psalmist writes, "Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples, for great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever." Praise the Lord. Father, we come before you to praise you. To praise you with all the life and the breath that you've given us, we come back to you, Lord, to praise you, to bless you. Come back to adore you, Lord. Father, as we gather this morning, we gather knowing that we can come into your presence. We can anticipate your presence with us. We can expect your touch during our time together. And so, Father, we come and we praise you. Give you thanks for your faithfulness and for your goodness, for your love which endures forever. Give you thanks that you are our Father, our Creator. And Lord, as we worship you this morning, we come not because we have to, but because we want to. We want to respond in love. As you love us first, we want to respond in love. So Father, as we worship together, as we pray together, we come to confess the times in where we've fallen from your ways, the times when we've caused harm or hurt to others by words or by deeds, or indeed by lack of words or lack of deeds. Father, we want to say sorry for the times that we've gone our own way. Gone our own way instead of following your way. Lord, we want to say sorry for the times where our arrogance and our pride has gotten the road of worshipping you, of following you, where we've allowed ourselves, that me, I, to become the centre of our universe, centre of our own universe, instead of focusing on you. And so, Lord, as we gather all these things together, confess them to you, those our sins, we ask for your forgiveness. And Father, we can ask for your forgiveness knowing that Jesus bought it for us, that his sacrifice, his death and his resurrection brings us freedom through forgiveness. And by your Spirit, Lord, present with us now, would you enable us to know what it's like to be free through that forgiveness, the difference your forgiveness can make in our lives. And Lord, set us free to worship you, to glorify you, to enjoy you forever. Father, as we gather our prayers together, hear us as we pray using the words that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. From John's Gospel, chapter 6, from this time, a time where many of the disciples, the followers of Jesus, have been deserting him, from this time many of the disciples turned back and no longer followed Jesus. You don't want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12, and Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. And so this morning we turn to the words of eternal life as we hear our scripture as it's read from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 19. Listen, each one, for the word of God.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. and it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the vaults of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years, and let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day.
Amen, and may God add his blessing to this reading of his word. To him be all glory, honour and praise. Somebody said to me this morning, is it another brick in the wall? Pink Floyd, no. Afraid not. I'm going to start just having a wee look at the God who is. I'll explain a bit more about that later, but just first of all, it's kind of the idea for this is a the idea of this is kind of more just a putting all the thoughts in one place, because over the first few months of the year, we're going to just have a wee look at the God who is. And I was thinking this is just quite a useful tool for an image that we put everything together. I can't remember if I gave you any other images for this, but no, I didn't. No, that's fine. See, I should write things down once I have the idea. But one of the things we're talking about is who God is. I'm going to go into this deeper later on, but you know, the first thing we see when we hear that reading, or we read Genesis 1, the first thing we see is that in the beginning, God who is in the beginning. I'm going to look further too at a more obvious one of God who is the creator. Also thinking, and again I say, but most of this stuff we're going to come in at various times over the next few months and go in a bit deeper, but God who is Father, Son and Holy Spirit, and God who is the beginning, not in the beginning, but who is the beginning. And one of the things also to consider is the God who is there. Now, the idea of having this board is just to be able to leave it up over the months. There'll be other bits going on it, and it builds up a picture for us of who God is. I think it's important that we continually refresh ourselves about who God is. And so just over the next few months, we're going to look at God, look at who he is, and through that, begin to understand what it is that he has done for us and why. So we'll come back to a lot of this later on in the service, but just for now, that's the idea, is to look at that and to think that through. Let's pray. Our creator and sustainer, everything holds together in you. The smallest creature is known to you, and the mightiest army is at your command. You rule with justice. Help us to trust your goodness in all that you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. Be still for the presence of the Lord. Let's stand to worship. Thank you. and we continue with our offering. As we bring our prayers together, just to remember the some of the prayer points that we normally go through. Last week and this week for the Presbytery prayer cycle is Kawinning Mansfield Trinity and Kawinning Old, so the two churches together. So just to remember them as we pray, and those the ministers there. Jeanette Whitecross and Hilary Beresford, and the two committees that they serve on through Presbytery, the Appraisal Committee and the Mission Committee. From the Path of Renewal, two congregations just to remember are Earlston in Duns, Earlston and Melrose in Peebles Presbytery, and Eyemouth in Duns Presbytery, just to remember to keep them in prayer as they explore Path of Renewal and what that means for their own congregations and their own people. So let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we worship you this morning, we come to share of the things that burden us and concern us, we come to share of the things that delight us and that we want to give thanks for. So we give thanks for all the things over the last couple of weeks that we've had Christmas and New Year's, for all the really good times, times of family and times of sharing together and being together. And Lord, all these things we give thanks for. Give thanks too for the times when we've seen you in your glory, just being around us, sharing with us, holding us, supporting us, leading us, guiding us. In many ways, we do want to give thanks too for the times when it's been difficult, it's been hard, and we've really struggled. Because in those times too, we can see you. And instead of maybe being around us or beside us, perhaps in those moments that you're beneath us, underneath us, holding us up, or you're over us, sheltering us. We come this morning with the burdens and the concerns that are in our hearts, the things that we want to share with you, Lord, from the concerns of what we read in the press and see in the news to the actual the things that are in our hearts and our minds, the personal burdens, the personal pains, we bring them to you. And Father, this morning we pray for those who are suffering with illness. And Lord, we pray for healing. For those who are struggling with relationships. And Lord, we pray for your peace, your calm in their lives. Lord, we pray once again for those who might be struggling with the things of life, struggling with the way things are going, struggling with finances. And Lord, that we pray that you'd be the God of peace and comfort. And Lord, we see this warring world. We pray that you would be the Prince of Peace, the one who would bring peace, shalom, to the world. And we pray, Lord, for your church. Your church throughout the lands would be beacons of light that people can be attracted to. Not for our sakes, but so that they can engage with you. That they would know your love. They would know your spirit, your presence in their lives. And Father, as we pray too for those who are in our hearts, in our minds, inspired by your Holy Spirit. We bring you the names of these situations just in a moment of quiet. Lord of all the living, remember all whom we remember, and forget none whom we forget. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Our hymn for the month is Come People of the Risen King. We've sung a couple of times in the last few weeks, but let's stand to worship. Come People of the Risen King.
from young and old, from every land, men and women of the faith. Come those with full or empty hands, find the riches of His grace. Over all the world His people sing, shore to shore.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we turn to you, asking now for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus by your Spirit to rest upon every mind in this place, in order that the perception of what I say will be heard, received, applied as you intend. Cleanse my tongue that I'll be your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said. I pray that I'll be very, very clear. And this will bring great honour and glory to your name. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So as I said earlier, we start to look at again at the God who is. The first temptation is to say it's going back to basics and looking again, but actually that's not it. That would be wrong to say that. It's actually more about taking that time to think a bit more about who God is. You know, as we go on in life, suddenly we can find that there's a new character, not a new one, but another characteristic of God, or something around God that we haven't thought about before, or indeed we've forgotten about, and suddenly we're reminded that God is, whatever that is. So it's right to take a time to explore who the one true God is and our relationship with Him. And our relationship as created people. You know, I fall into the habit of saying, when I was working, which I mean, when I was in the place, I'm still working. I have to remind myself that bit. I can, you know, look back at the place, but when I retired, I was heading up a unit called Crime Policy and Community Safety. We looked at crime policy and community safety, but a lot of the stuff we got was because, well, we could be dumping some stuff because we didn't know where it fitted anywhere else. So crime policy and community safety was kind of a nice loose term to bring in. But a lot of the stuff I was doing was looking at existing policies and processes and having to go back and have a look at them. One of them I did was looking at how we develop warnings for juvenile offenders. And before we could move ahead, I had to look back at the what we were actually doing and what we thought we were doing, and then compared that to what the source document, the policy document said we should be doing, and then look at the results of what was happening before making any changes. And that process was done, and we then moved forward into restorative justice stuff that was being driven by the Scottish Government at the time. But the importance about this, and where I want to really get to, is the fact that we had to sit back and for a while and just look at what we'd been doing and how we'd been doing it and compare it to the document which had been written a few years beforehand and hadn't really been reviewed because nothing had really changed that much. But it's important to go back to the source document, and maybe for the next few months, really to look at who God is and check the source document, the scriptures, to see who God is revealing himself to be through scriptures. And then we can have a think about what it is, what we actually have been thinking about over the years, how things have maybe changed for us. And also, can we get a bit deeper into that relationship with him? There's a writer called Don Carson who says this: what's really important to see and understand is as God has disclosed himself, not only in words, but in the whole storyline of the Bible's narrative, is that we are not permitted to take one attribute of God and make everything of it. We cannot, let's say, take his sovereignty and forget his goodness, or take his goodness and forget his holiness. His holiness is what makes him the God of judgment. We can't take his judgment, even the severity of his judgment, and forget that he's the God of love, the God who has so much loved even his rebellious creatures that ultimately sent his son to bear their sin in his own body on the tree. In other words, to get to the heart of who God is and to bow before him in some small measure of genuine understanding, it's important to think through what the Bible says again and again and integrate the whole with the same balance and proportion that Scripture itself gives. That calls us to worship. And he puts in a wee warning, really, a wee caution at the end, and he says, and if we put anything else in the place of God, that is the very definition of idolatry. So what we're doing is we look at who God is, and then we're focusing on him and putting him at the center. Find out who he is and try not to lose sight of any part of him. And if we put anything else in that place, then that is idolatry. So as we begin to look through who God is and to begin to appreciate that for ourselves again, and I know some would be saying, well, I know this bit, or I know that bit, or I know the next bit, but actually, as we go over a few months, then we might see different parts of who God is. First of all, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One of the things that we need to bear in mind that the one true God is actually of three persons. And as we read in Scripture, it says, in the beginning God, and then he formed the heavens and earth, and it was formless, and the Spirit hovered over the waters. So the Spirit is there. And then when we read from John chapter 1, it says this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So here we've got the three persons: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, Word, and Holy Spirit. The three persons of God in the beginning. And for me, that's the importance of understanding right from the very start that actually there's God in the beginning. That's our starting point. It's not some kind of idea that we're all kicking around and then we find God. But in the beginning is God. In the beginning is God. And he creates the heaven and earth. the words, that very first verse of Scripture, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That's it. God in the beginning. Our Father, our God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, there in the beginning. But you know, it's His action in the beginning. It's His action that makes Him the beginning, the God who is the beginning. Because He could have just left it as that. In the beginning, God. There's nothing compelling Him to do anything. But instead, He becomes the beginning by creating the heavens and the earth. It's as though He is a catalyst for all this change, creativity, growth, development. He's a catalyst, and it's of His own will. In the beginning, God is the beginning. And He becomes our creator. And He creates the heavens and the earth. And as we read through Genesis 1 and 2, we see that creation developing. And you know, what's really noticeable at the start of Genesis 1, at the end of each day, and God saw that it was good. God saw that it was good. So what He was creating was good. That's the point we're at. That everything that God created was good. And in fact, when we get to the point of creating male and female in His image, He sees that it's very good. So here's our Creator God creating that which is good. And really, it is, we get to a very good, but this is the state, this is what He's created, it's all good. He approves of everything, He likes it. And the only thing that we find out when we read through these two chapters, the thing that was not good, was for man to be on his own. And so we see the creation of female, male and female. And there's always that kind of difficulty of trying to work out how to read chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1, and understand Genesis chapter 2. Somebody said to me once that it was like if you're looking at a car that was painted on one side black, on the other side white. So if you're looking from one side, you'll see a black car. And if you're looking from the other side, you see a white car. And I tried to compare that between the two chapters of Genesis. I'm not convinced by that argument, but actually, as I've been trying to work that through for myself about what Genesis 1 and 2 says, if we take them together, what we see is in Genesis 2, particularly, a bit more detail and understanding of how that He created them, male and female, in His image, and saw that it was very good, happened because He created man and then saw it wasn't good and created female, because it's not good for man to be his own. And I'm quite sure a lot of people will testify to that. And He creates female and then says it's very good. So in some way the two chapters come together, and actually what they do is they set us up for chapter 3. So we begin to understand the creation, we get to the point of here's God with His created, in His creation with His created people, walking in the cool of evening, as it says in Scripture. And then there's that thing that happens that's not good, the fall, the falling out of a relationship where man and woman actually try and be God and be like God and learn to want the knowledge of God, and they sin and are banished from that. Well, that was good. So understanding that 1 and 2, reading chapters 1 and 2, give us that background for going into chapter 3 and seeing what's happening there. But the other thing about really what happens with these two chapters is that God is setting up in place accountability and responsibility. Our accountability to God and our responsibility for the stewardship of the world, his creation. He sees that his creation's good. He puts us in charge of it and is happy with that. You know, it's like a job description. A lot of the job descriptions you see, a lot of the ones I've written, a lot of the ones I've read, and a lot of the ones I've used to apply for posts have said what the job title is, a wee bit of description of what's supposed to happen, and then it says accountable to, responsible for. And really, chapters 1 and 2, Genesis, build us up for that. What are we accountable for? Or who are we accountable to, and what are we responsible for? And in that process, here we are. And this is all because of our God, who is in the beginning, is the beginning, and is our creator. Sorry, I've gone too far. I thought I gave you more. Never mind. Sorry, Ross. We okay? The thing that we get out of this, and it's Don Carson says in one of his other books, his writings, what we need to realise when we're thinking about God is he simply is. He is. We can try and work out and try and prove, but Scripture doesn't want us to try and prove and try and work out how it all happened and how can we prove that God exists. He simply says, he is. God is. That's it. And for me, our claim as Christians is that the Bible discloses the God who is there. All through Scripture we see the God who is there with us, as he was in the past, is now, and will be in the future. And as we begin to work out who God is, actually the reality is that we will never ever managed to get it all right and all sorted. And that board here is just not big enough to list of who the God who is. But actually it's only a starting point. It's a visual for us to try and get a hold of in our heads and try and work through. But our God is much greater than anything that we can imagine. Our God is much more in terms of character, much wider than we can ever think of. And there is that definition from St. Anselm used for to prove the existence of God, which says that if you can actually imagine God, if you can think about him, then he is much bigger than anything we can get in our heads. And the real warning for us is if we stop trying to work something out and we contain God and hold him saying, that's him, that's the limits, then we've got that wrong. God has no limits. It's much wider than anything that we can think of. So let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all you've done for us. We thank you for the creation you've put in charge, us in charge of. We thank you, Lord, that you created us, male and female, in your image you created us. And Lord, we thank you too that you call us into relationship with you to glorify you and to enjoy you forever. Heavenly Father, as we worship this morning, we praise you and give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Let's worship again. Heavenly Father, as we close our worship and together, we begin to prepare to leave this place. And as we do, we pray that you are the God who is there with us as we go, to be with us as we meet with others, to be able to share your love and to share your mercy and your spirit with those that we meet, those that you put in our paths. And so, Lord, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one, those whom you love and those whom you struggle to love now and until Jesus comes again and then forevermore. Now in the name of the Lord, peace to you. We bless you now in the name of the Prince of Peace.